This is the Alpaca Podcast for all things alpaca. If you're an owner, a soon-to-be owner, a want-to-be owner, or are just alpaca mad or love the fleece, welcome to the Alpaca Tribe. I'm Steve Hetherington. Hi, Steve here, and welcome to the podcast for alpaca people. So good to see you again. Last time we were talking to Rita and just doing a catch-up generally, there were some other stuff we talked about which I wanted to share with you this week. And we were talking about alpacas growing older, well, and owners. And there's a few things there that we just wanted to touch on and also talk a bit more about what Rita's doing on her farm and getting people to come and visit. So I hope you enjoyed. Here it is. More catching up, but also considering older alpacas. And I think that's something it's been nagging away at me, and I think what it needs is not just one kind of conversation like this, but it's almost kind of let's speak to a number of owners and people with different experiences and different solutions to those kind of issues. I think it's a thing that's going to become more of an issue. Mm-hmm. For owners, as the owners are getting older, but also as the animals are getting older.
Yes, absolutely.
Because the whole kind of alpaca industry here in the UK was behind Australia and the US, but the people who kind of got in there early on, they probably had early retirement, but they're now at the stage where they're kind of retiring properly. What are they doing with their animals? How are they managing? Because a lot of their older animals. So do you end up so thinking about animals as they get older, the alpacas particularly, because you've only just got the younger llamas, but there's some other challenges there in making sure that they get enough food.
Yes.
And I think in a recent post you mentioned about teeth, checking their teeth and making sure they can still feed and that kind of thing, which is important.
Yes, absolutely.
And the demands for nutrition shift because they're no longer breeding, but they need maintaining, but also you've got to kind of work out how to judge them. Mm-hmm. I've found some of my girls, when you put your hand on them, you go, oh, you've lost condition. Well, no, actually, you've got your hand in the wrong place, Steve. This is higher up near the front shoulders, and actually, because they're older now, they're a little bit more skinny and bony. We all get a bit skinny and bony as we get older, it seems. And actually, when you check the body condition in the right place, which is down behind or just in front of the rear legs, but on the spine, then the condition's okay, given their age. Mm-hmm. But you start to find those kind of little changes are happening.
The other things that I'm noticing, it's a very interesting thing. And it shifted for me as well in terms of breeding and having crias and young males and females and all of that, to noticing some of my clients that bought alpacas from me, and they had alpacas before, some people that had, their challenges now with the elderly animals. Mm. And, like one of my friends says, I think my alpacas have a little bit of arthritis.
Yeah.
And what's the solution for that? And we've been researching and looking at things. And some of the older animals, I start to notice that they're still healthy, but they're not as agile as the younger ones, right? And maybe they push a bit longer and they rest a bit longer and all these things. And it's important that we look after our older animals. Mm. Just as much as we look after our older humans.
Indeed, right? Absolutely.
It's important to understand their needs. I never thought too much of teeth, but I started noticing teeth a lot more. And the older boys and girls, the teeth, you can see how it's wearing.
Yep. I found that last year is when we did the shearing. I thought, oh, that's interesting. This is they don't need attention. Terms of cutting back. How do I make them longer? Well, you can't. But it's just recognizing there's a shift there. So it's a question of how you can give them softer hay and stuff, or just being aware of it, really. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. The other thing that was interesting too is when I had, because I run, you know, the introduction to alpacas, and I have a variety of age groups that come to those, you know, workshops. And sometimes people get into alpacas when they are retiring from their normal, you know, career, which is a beautiful time, but also means, and I talk to people about how long alpacas live.
Yeah.
And a lot of people want to buy young animals. And I say, look, they might be around for 20 years, for 25 years, if in good health. So can you picture yourself in 20 years and just that stuff that you're talking about? How healthy, how fit are you going to be? Are you still going to be able to, you know, bend down and kneel down and do all sorts of things that that we're doing now? And
it's all useful things to be considering when you're starting out, because until you're in the moment, you can't be completely sure what your capabilities are going to be, your capacity. But also what potential solutions, because I think you've got a farm. What's her title? Farm assistant, is it, or a?
Oh, my farm, you know, volunteer.
Volunteer, yeah.
Yes.
So that can be a useful addition if you can find someone who's got the interest. So then some of those things, well, it's a two-person job. Makes life easier. We manage, don't we? When it's really a two-person job, but with only us, we get on and do, and we manage those things. But if we've got a willing helper, then that's a useful addition, and it's a great experience for people and adds to their CV. At this point, we moved on to talk about people visiting Rita's farm, particularly the workshops and things that she offers for people to come and experience the alpacas and other things actually with her on the farm.
Allowing people to come here and feel like that they're having a good time and it's not like a huge group. Yeah,
that's really good. And then you've always been a knitter, I know.
Yes.
And you're regularly sitting outside with the alpacas and knitting in the field with them and things like that, which is lovely. And you do that with groups as well now. Is that, you get people to come and crocheting and knitting?
Yeah, so crocheting and knitting. So we've got the next one coming up, and it's about 3 hours, 2.5 hours. We just sit outside. Australia, south of Australia, doesn't rain too much. So usually there's no issue with the weather.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. People really nice that connection of sitting, doing their craft with the alpacas, just grazing. It's nice and calming.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah. That's lovely.
Yes.
And then there's wet felting, which we tend to do this end. That's what we tend to focus on. But there's also needle felting, which is where you can use a needle and get the fiber to connect to itself and turn into the felt. So you've got a needle felting workshop coming up sometime?
I've got a needle felting workshop. So I've always loved wet felting.
Right.
Especially in summer, right? Because you get wet, the fiber gets wet.
Yeah.
It's fun. I really like, wet felting. But my farm volunteer, Ella, who is 18, when she started here, I gave her some fiber, and just out of her curiosity, she started needle felting. And she's done some amazing things. And I got into needle felting because of her insistence.
Yes.
So she would bring her needles and try this. And one day I started trying. It's like, this is a lot of fun. She has done all sorts of things. She learns just by watching things and reading. She's done alpacas.
Oh, look at that. I need a picture of that as well. Hang on.
Yes.
Lovely. That's great. No. Very clever.
Very clever. And you can use any type of alpaca fiber, right? That's the beauty of it. It's not just the fine fiber. Yeah. It can be your elderly alpaca and you can still felt with it.
Yeah.
In fact, I felted a laptop cover with my oldest alpaca.
Well, there you go.
fiber. So it's a lot of fun, and people that have alpacas as you know, companions, they want to do something with the fiber.
Yeah.
They might not be knitters, they might not be you know, crocheters, and felting is very accessible. You know, you don't have to learn stitches or anything like that. It's really just the friction and learning the basics, and you can go from there.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Yeah, yeah. No, I do like the felting, and you can do some amazing things with it.
Yes.
Wow. And so the things you've been doing on farm with people, there's a bunch of stuff on Instagram, and the link for that will be in the episode notes. But some of the workshops and the things where you get people to come onto the farm, so you have people coming for learning about alpacas because they,
yes,
either they're going to be having some or want to know more. They've got some and they want to kind of learn more. So that's yes. Really good. And
that's right. That's
and
right.
You tend to I think I've picked up that you tend to do that small. You limit the numbers of that.
There are small numbers. I think it's better for people. It's better for us.
Yeah.
And the animals too.
Yeah.
And tend to do that once or twice a semester in autumn and spring. It's finding a balance, you know, for me, because I also have a job outside of the farm.
Sure.
So it's really balancing that. Yeah. And
so in terms of how many alpacas you've got at the moment?
Look, I knew you were going to ask me that question.
Because you've scaled down from what you said.
I've scaled down. So I've got 29 alpacas.
Yeah.
20 females and yeah. 9 males.
Yeah. And then the llamas.
And I originally got 4 llamas.
Yeah.
And then I got 5 more llamas.
Oh, now you see, there's the bit of the story. You didn't tell me that bit. So they're like alpacas. You start with a few, and then you just got to have more.
I know, but that's it.
That's quite a handful. So you got nine llamas as well. Amazing.
9 llamas. So not 9 llama boys.
Yeah.
And they're in their own group.
Okay.
In their paddock. Yep. They're getting along really well.
Oh,
all
excellent.
Of them.
Yeah.
And then I've got the females. Female alpacas.
Yeah.
In their group,
yep.
Far, you know, and then the male alpacas, 9 of them,
yeah,
in their own paddock.
So it's very similar to us, actually. We've got 31 at the moment, so we've got the 9 boys and then the 22 girls. And it's quite a nice number.
Yes.
It changes the dynamic as you go from 3, 5, 10. Mm-hmm. Going up,
yeah.
but then, and we've been up higher, but coming down, and it's partly because they're getting older. We lost a few during last year as well for various things, but which is hard, but it's part of the them getting older, really. So we do what we can and support them. But yeah, oh, interesting. All right, so yeah, so interesting, similar sort of scale. But and I get that's one of the things that people will notice, that they start with a few and then there is a desire for more that kind of creeps up on you. You've got to watch that one. You've got to be aware and make sure you've got the capacity to do that, but also the space in terms of the land, etc.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And the desire and there's another reason that I wanted to stop breeding was actually to spend more quality time with the animals I have.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they're each so different.
They are.
Each alpaca is completely different from each other.
Any that stand out? Have you got a favorite? Oh, no, I know the answer to that. My answer to that is, how many have I got? 31? I've got 31 favorites.
That's it. Yes.
So I already know that there is no favorite, but they are different. Who's the matriarch? Have you got a matriarch in the female group?
I do have a matriarch. The matriarch is, so we do have a few that are pregnant, but I find that the pregnancy changes a few things.
Yeah.
Bakiana is a very extroverted, self-assured lady.
Yeah.
Alpaca.
Yeah.
I call them ladies.
Yeah, I know.
It's a nice thing for a female like myself who's always been I grew up in Brazil where I was I learned, you know, during my time to speak very low and not to challenge things. And it's interesting to have an alpaca female herd where there are very strong female females.
Yeah.
That, you know, and it's a beautiful thing to see. So anyhow, see, so Bakiana will assert, you know, herself, especially at feeding time.
Right.
That's when you notice. I've got another one, which is actually, you know, it's Bakiana's sister, Cantata. She is always the first one that comes running when she sees the wheelbarrow or there's a sign that they might get fed.
Good, yeah.
She's always the first one. She runs so fast. and then my heart goes for those that are at the end of the pecking order, you know, and I love them so much because they're the last ones to come. And they know that I know that, and they know when I give them a little side eye that
there's a little something
food for them. Some for them, yes, in my hands.
Yeah.
And then you've got those in the middle that it's almost like a classroom, isn't it?
It is.
In the middle that sort of they go along, and it's funny because my volunteer, she's doing a project. That she's doing a photo album of my alpacas.
Right.
And she said to me, Rita, you don't have as many photos of this alpaca and that alpaca.
Interesting.
On the social media. Why is that? Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's not good. And it's like I've been the teacher that has been, you know, focusing, I don't know, some alpacas for some reason, I take more photos of them.
Yeah, you end up focusing on the loud ones and the quiet ones, and the ones in the middle don't get quite as much. Yeah, no, I recognize that. I recognize that completely.
Yeah.
And that's, you need to, now and again, to be intentional. And you know, I'm always encouraging people to take some time and, you know, spend some time with their alpacas and just, and it's partly because I think you see things. If you spend a bit of time around them, I'm not just doing the, you have to do the work, you have to do the feeding, the mucking out, and all the bits and pieces that need to be done. But to actually stand for no reason other than to be around them and to well, that's lovely in itself, but actually also has a purpose because you notice things. And then you notice the one that's always down for food first is a little, she's a little bit further back. She's not quite, there's something going on there. So all those things that we can then notice, but you need to spend a bit of time sort of standing and staring.
yes, absolutely.
But it's a delight to be able to do that. Yeah, that's interesting. It is. The ones in the middle. Yeah.
Mm.
Hmm. And it's nice to know that it's not just me.
Yes.
Yeah, it is good to know it's not just me. And I think there's a connection we feel with our alpacas, but also with other alpaca owners. And especially with Rita, I feel a real kindred spirit. So thanks, Rita. Great to see you and have that conversation, and lovely to be able to share it with everybody else. So if you can, go spend some time with your alpacas and breathe. Take care now. See you again soon. This is the Alpaca Tribe, and I'm Steve Hetherington. Have a great day.